My guest at this time is Professor Jan C. Ting. He teaches law at the Temple University School of Law, and he served previously as an Immigration and Naturalization Service Commissioner with the Department of Justice. We've asked him to offer his analysis today on presidential candidate Donald Trump's proposal to temporarily ban all Muslim immigration until the screening process can be improved in order to make sure that we are not letting potential terrorists into the country. And, Professor, thanks very much for your time today.
Well, anytime.
Well, let's start with the big question here. Is this constitutional? A lot of the arguments against Trump suggest that even though these folks aren't in the country, it sets a bad precedent with respect to the freedom of the exercise of religion. Others say it imposes a religious test on immigration, which is unconstitutional. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I argued in a piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer that the proposed temporary suspension would be completely legal and completely constitutional. And if that's the case, then it's reduced to a policy dispute, right? Is this a good policy or a bad policy? That, I think, is a real dispute. But I don't think there's really any dispute about the legality. There's a statute that makes clear that the president has the authority to exclude any alien or any class of aliens, any group of aliens. So Congress has delegated that power to the president. President Obama or President Trump could do that. And it's also clear, I think, and I've argued, that the Supreme Court has really taken a hands-off position with regard to immigration. And as anyone who studied immigration law in law school knows, immigration is different from all other areas of American law. And as the Supreme Court has clearly said, we routinely do things in immigration that would not be permissible if we were dealing with American citizens. In this case, we're talking about people outside the United States who want to come into the United States. They're outside knocking on our door. And the Supreme Court has clearly said, you know what, you can use, we can use any criteria we want in letting people in or out. The people outside the United States do not have any legal or constitutional right to come into the United States if the government of the United States doesn't want them to. And I think if we think about it from a policy point of view, that's not a bad position to be in. We want that authority, particularly in case of some sort of emergency, to exclude people from the United States on any basis that seems right at the time that the issue arises.
Professor, looking at history, obviously you've explained why you believe it's legal. To what extent has this been enacted over the years? I can think of a number of things from certain ethnicities during World War II, the Chinese Exclusion Act back in the 1880s and so forth.
Sure. This all springs from Chinese exclusion, where the Supreme Court unanimously held at the end of the 19th century that the United States could exclude people if it wanted to on the basis of race or ethnicity. That was a unanimous Supreme Court decision, which has never been overturned. It's still good law. It's still studied as one of the earliest cases in every American law school that teaches immigration law. Starts with Chinese exclusion. That's the, I call it the fountainhead of American immigration law. If we can exclude people on the basis of race or ethnicity, and the Supreme Court unanimously says we can, is there any ground on which we can't exclude people? And the reality is, you know, I made the point that Jimmy Carter excluded Iranians on the basis of nationality during the hostage crisis. And one thing I didn't put in is we are discriminating on the basis of race and ethnicity all the time today. And one example is this visa waiver program that people are talking about. We let people from nice European countries, you know, France, Denmark, Sweden, come to the United States without visas. But we say to people from developing countries, Asia, Africa, Latin America, oh, if you want to come to the United States, you have to apply for a visa. Can we do that? Is it constitutional to discriminate on the basis of ethnicity? Anyone who's studied immigration law says, yeah, no problem. We have a green card lottery, terrible idea, but where we give out green cards in a lottery every year, 50,000. But here's the thing. There's a rule that we've put on there that says no Mexicans need apply. No Filipinos need apply, because we're not going to give any of these green card visa lotteries to Filipinos or Mexicans or Chinese. Can we do that? can we run a lottery, as crazy as it is, and say certain ethnicities cannot apply? Because we're not going to give you anything. And the answer is unquestionably, absolutely, we can do that. And anyone who knows the law knows that. And a third example would be we have a what's called a per-country cap on immigration, that no one, even qualified immigrants from any one country, can get more than 7% of the total number of immigrant visas that we issue. Well, who does that affect? That doesn't affect small countries like Denmark or Switzerland, where there is nobody who really wants to immigrate to the United States in the first place. It affects big countries with a lot of people that want to come to the United States, like who? Like Mexico, like the Philippines, like China. And as a result, people from those countries have to often wait in lines that are much longer than people from every other country. Right, there are people in the Philippines who have been accepted as immigrants who have been waiting for more than 20 years for their chance to come in only because they're Filipinos. And is that constitutional? Is that illegal? Anyone who knows their immigration law says, yeah, that's no problem. We can do that. Well, if we can do all of those crazy things, we can certainly exclude people on the basis of religion, I think. There are many precedents that the Supreme Court has ruled on. The Supreme Court has said you can exclude people on the basis of secret evidence, right? You don't even have to say why. We're not going to let these people in, and we're not going to tell you why. End of story.
Professor, let me jump in there now, because you posed an interesting question earlier on. You've given your legal analysis of the case, but you also mentioned in passing that just because it's constitutional doesn't mean it's necessarily a good idea. Obviously, there's different views on this. Trump and others believe that, look, obviously not all Muslims are terrorists, but the terrorists that we've been running into certainly seem to be fitting a pattern here. And it's best to figure out a system of screening before we allow the gates to continue to be open for these folks. Others say if you consider everyone a suspect, that's going to compromise a lot of potential allies that we have. And also, it's impossible to tell if someone actually is a Muslim. They could lie their way through the system. So, well, what's your analysis on whether this would be an effective policy?
Well, you know, what I hear Donald Trump saying is that this is going to be a temporary policy until we get our screening functioning, until we know what we're doing. There have been congressional hearings recently, as I'm sure you know, in which it's been exposed that as part of our vetting process, the Obama administration has deliberately prevented our security agencies from looking at social media and from looking at people's emails in advance, including the San Bernardino terrorists who were communicating their jihadist ideas prior to acting. And if we had known about it, maybe we wouldn't have issued the visa to the fiancé. So I think all I hear Donald Trump saying is we're going to put up a temporary ban until we get our own act together on how we vet people and how we screen people, and let's overcome some of these problems, these artificial political problems that have been introduced by the Obama administration that have prevented a more thorough vetting over the objections of some of the people in their own administration, you know, who said we have to get tougher on this. And for political reasons, the administration said, no, we're going to, you know, be politically correct here with regard to all the privacy advocates. So that's all I hear Donald Trump saying. And it is a policy dispute, but it ought to be debated as such and not pretend that there's some big legal or constitutional impediment to what is being proposed.
From your INS experience, let's talk about what an effective screening reform would look like. You mentioned social media. Obviously, in the past few days, that's really exploded as a head-scratcher as to why that wasn't already in place, given the explosion of social media and how it's being used to recruit terrorists and so forth. What else needs to be part of the matrix here to make sure that there's not other ways that they're slipping through the cracks?
Well, I don't claim to be a national security expert on this, but it does seem like there's a lot of stuff that has been overlooked for, I guess, political reasons. As we know, every company in the United States, you know, before they hire somebody, will do a social media check and just see exactly who it is that they're hiring. And so it seems kind of elementary for the United States to say, well, before we let people that we don't know into the United States, maybe we ought to be doing the same thing that every business in the United States does, doing a rudimentary social media check. And obviously, we have capabilities to do more than that in cases of particular interest to us. And I think, you know, clearly we haven't been doing that. And all I hear Donald Trump saying is that let's get our act together and let's have a temporary slowdown of this immigration until we have that under control, until we have confidence in our vetting process.
Professor, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Jan C. Ting is a professor at the Temple University School of Law. He's also a former Immigration and Naturalization Service Commissioner with the Department of Justice. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.